All right, we're teaching on manifesting the sons of God, but we're in this area now that we call vengeance and recompense. Vengeance and recompense. Now, I want to get to this area called the day of his power. But before that, I want to make sure I cover this thoroughly, because this is an extremely important message. I'm going to start reading at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Until now. This is Paul's writing and a revelation of who we are and the sons of God. Now, we said that there are different levels of the word. One with no word, somebody who's not been born again. We call it a natural man. The Bible calls it a natural man. It's a natural person, a person who is basically not been born again, so their influence has all been pretty much Satan has had inroad to their life. And matter of fact, the same nature in Satan is in a person who's not born again. I mean, we were all that way, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, we were all that way at one time. Then you got a baby Christian, which is one who the Bible calls a carnal man. The Bible talks about that. Paul discusses that in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. He says, where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? In other words, you're walking almost like the unsaved, because a person is born again, but they've never developed in the Word of God. And then goes on up to the spiritual man. And Paul talks about that in that same chapter, and he also talks about in Hebrews chapter 5, strong meat, he said, belongs to those who are full age. And those who are able to use the Word of God, the covenant of God with skill. So as a person goes on up, they go on up to different levels of the Word, and God wants each one of us to grow. He says over in 1 Peter in chapter 2, I think it is, to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Let me just make sure that I've given you the right scripture, because folks call me from time to time to correct me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And that you may grow thereby. So God wants us to increase. Everything he gives you, he plans for you to increase it. Gives you business, increase it. Gives you ministry, increase it. Gives you whatever he gives you. So now, as that has happened, he says that if we're children, then we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, let's talk about what happened there. Adam was created by God. Adam was both human and he was spirit. Human comes from the word humus, means soil. So he was both dirt and spirit. God called him man. Man is a spirit. And so this man is in this dirt. The dirt supplied his house while he's here. That's his home. Home. Okay, now I know a lot of times we say, well, where is she? Well, she's going home to be with the Lord. Well, the Bible calls your body your home. Now, I'm not trying to throw darts. I'm just telling you some things that sometimes if you shift your statements, it'll shift your thinking just a little bit. So now, here's Adam and Eve, and God puts Adam in the garden. And in that garden, God has now got Adam running the entire world enterprise, and Adam and Eve. And he tells them not to eat of a certain tree. Now, that particular tree, he says, tree of knowledge and good of evil. That knowledge is diath in Hebrew, having to do with this knowledge which comes through the senses. And he said, the day you eat of this one, you shall surely die. And so Eve was deceived by a serpent. And this serpent that deceived Eve, Adam was not deceived, the Bible says. And so as a result of that, they ate of the tree. And when they did, they died. And we said death is twofold. One, well, there's really three deaths, but these two deaths is when the spirit leaves the body. That's one form of death. It's a separation of the spirit from the body. And now I'm not talking about somebody's out-of-body experience, okay? I'm talking about when the spirit leaves the body. And then the second death is when actually the spirit of God gets separated from the spirit of man. That's a death. And so now they're dead. And it's just a matter of time before the body stops functioning, because Adam was designed to live forever. And Adam got his information from God. He got it through something we call revelation instead of pure information. So revelation gave him answers directly from God into his spirit, and his spirit was leading him. They that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the mature offspring of God. So now, as he is being led by God, God has given him answers and teaching him and so forth and so on all over. But once he sins, that channel of information got cut off. So now Adam fell from information, from revelation down to information, and now Adam's having to figure everything out with his mind. Well, that's not good enough to be able to control this earth with an alien spirit called Satan inside of it. So now Satan took charge. So he began to put up his system. Now understand, before this, Adam had dominion over all the earth, everything, including time. Now that's a very key piece. And I put some things down here on that, that this, can I talk a little bit about that if you have time? Okay. When we're talking about time, you and I were born from a dimension of no time. We were born from heaven, from above, from God. And in God, there is no time. There's that as we know it. There's something called eternity. And in eternity, things are there in this time before they're there. Did y'all understand that? In other words, in eternity, it's already done. So time is given to Adam as an element in the earth that's a part of God's creation. Time was. Time, like money, was supposed to be subdued by man. In other words, man was not supposed to be controlled by time. Man was supposed to control time. And time, owe it to God. When Adam fell, he fell under time. Because time seeks to subdue everything, to imprison it to natural progression. That's why the church can work something called miracles. Miracles violate the law of time. Okay? So, we had pretty much been trained in time, because that's what we say, we're gonna be healed. Well, think about it. If there is no time in God, according to God, you are healed. So there's nothing in the Bible that says you're going to be healed. God didn't write that, because that's not true. The truth is by his stripes, you are healed. When do you think God knew you? The Bible says before what? The foundation of the world. When do you think he provided for you? See, he didn't have to wait till you got in the earth to provide for you. He provided for you before the foundation of the earth, but he took your provisions and put them in the eternal. That only faith can pull them out. You got what I'm saying? So it's already, you're already provided for. Now, this is essential that you get your understanding of the fact that if you don't dominate time, time will dominate you. Because it seeks to subdue everything and put everything in time. See? And you've got all kinds of scriptures that teach you differently, and I won't go through them, but you can go through them in the Bible. And that's one thing that happened when Jesus came to the graveside of Lazarus. Remember, Martha or whoever it was said, if you had only been here earlier, he would not have died. She said, wait a minute. He said, wait a minute. He said, their brother will rise again. She said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection and the last day. He said, wait a minute. I am the resurrection. See, I am the last day. But I came to this day because I'm operating without time. Are you following what I'm saying? And he raised him up. Now, what was he? He was dead. Well, what did Jesus do? Bring him back to life. What did he do? He canceled death and brought him back to life. He brought him back. He brought him back to life. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is key for you receiving your inheritance. It's for you to understand this whole idea about your dominion over time. It is very key, because it opens the door. Your understanding of that is your understanding of faith, because it opens the door to the supernatural. As long as you stay in the natural progression of time, and you're not operating in faith. The first thing he did was teach Abraham how to talk. He said, now, wait a minute, Abraham. Let me tell you the way you're going to do this. Call things that be not as though they were. He said, wait a minute, okay. He said, don't call yourself Abram anymore. Call yourself what? Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. Well, he didn't have any children of his own. But notice how he got them. He had to come back and step outside of time to get a hold of the eternal. Does this make sense? Does this make sense to you? Okay, now I'm only saying that because the same thing is with your inheritance. And vengeance and recompense is a part of your inheritance. Now, we're going to go into that just a little bit. But you got to remember that understanding that you were not born out of, let me say it another way. You're not born in time. You were born in the eternal. You came from above. You were born from a realm that had no time. Why? Because you were designed to dominate time. If God planned for you to obey time and conform to time, he would never have given you faith. because faith has no time. Faith is a higher law than time. If you ever say, I'm going to get healed, then God legally, hear what I'm saying, you have not confessed the word of God. Confession means agree with. It means the word homologio. It means to say what God said. You haven't said what God said. If you say, I'm going to get healed, you have put your healing in the future, and there is no future in God. So for you to get your healing, you're going to have to agree with what God said, and he said, you are already healed. And if you even look at a person like Jonah was caught in the fish's belly. Somebody wrote me a letter on that. Well, yeah, hey, well, I went fishing. The Bible did say a big fish, but it did say somewhere a whale. I think I found it somewhere. But you know, folk. I wasn't even talking about that. You know what I mean? I was talking about something else. And so here he was in the fish's belly. Now here he was, and he was in there in Jonah chapter 2. It tells you about it, what he was going through and so forth and like that. But it says, and not until he changed his attitude, he changed his time. Instead of belly aching about how bad it is, he began to praise God for how good it is. See, he needed to get out of the situation he was in. And to get out of the situation you're in, you're going to have to act like you out before you actually physically experience the getting out. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is a part of how you as a believer must live if you are to receive the inheritance that God has for your life. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right, let's go to another place. Let's go to James in James chapter 5, please. James chapter 5. Now, understand, if a person is a baby Christian, they are moved by their feelings. So they're going to wait to see it first before they believe it and before they act on it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that is a baby Christian. So baby Christians have not been able to be used to rule this planet. Yet it got to go to a person who's a mature believer, who's on meat, who's not moved by what they say, but by what they see, but they're moved by what God has said. Say amen to that. Whew, okay. Look what it says here in James chapter 5. This is just an example now. It's a little side trip. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him or her call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if there's been any sins, he'll be what? He'll be forgiven. Now, what is the prayer of faith? Well, come on back to James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how? In faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Now, what am I doing here? I want to renew your mind to the fact that you're operating in dominion of time. That where you normally had to wait for payday. Come on, you got to get me now. You got to get me. Because the world is subjected to natural progression of things. You're not. And in the last days, that's what's going to differentiate you from the world. The church is going to be operating on a higher level. God will say it. Okay, how about healing? You're not going to have to wait to be healed. If you just say healing, period, it normally signifies the fact of a gradual healing. But if you say a miracle, now you've taken away time. You got it?
Yes.
See, the enemy has kept people in time to run them out of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They eventually lost their life.
Yes, yes.
Because they didn't have enough time to get well.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can override time.
Yes, 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 yes.
Come on now.
Okay. Come on.
See, religion never gives you a time. It always says someday.
All right. That's right.
I know I'm right.
Yes.
But a true believer understands that he has something to say about time.
Yes.
So you get this. Here's David. He runs up to the front line, said, "What y'all all dug out in foxholes? What's up here?" Said, "Well, that big guy, that guy Goliath, da-da-da-da-da." He said, "Well, wait a minute now. I kill a bear and I kill a lion. I can take this big guy." Well, pretty soon he worked himself up to the king, Saul, and Saul let him go and tried to put his arm on him. David rejected that. But then he got there and he said, "Hey," came to the front line. Goliath spoke some things to him, some curses. Then he said, "Wait a minute." He said, "This day." Now, suppose he would have said, "Next Tuesday." Got it? What would God have had to do? He had to wait till next Tuesday because he couldn't violate David's confession. See, religion never says a day. It always says someday. I'm going to get healed sometime. Praise God. I know God's a healer. He's going to heal me one day. That's why the man was sitting up by the pool of Bethesda, you know. And Jesus came to the man and said, "Wait, do you want to be made whole?" He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "You don't understand. I've been at this pool for 38 years. And every time I try to get up and go get in the pool, somebody jump ahead of me and I miss my healing." Jesus said, "Wait a minute. Rise. Take up your bed and walk right now." Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that's what happened at the graveside. She said, "Hey, I know he's going to rise again in the last day." He said, no. You don't understand. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning. I am. And the last. I'm here right now. Lazarus, come forth. So you have to wait on things in the natural when you're in the natural progression, when you're not operating in the miracles spirit. But when it's time for you with vengeance and recompense, God will deliver you speedily. Luke chapter 18. Say amen to this. This business of waiting is over. Say amen to that. I gotta wait on my business to grow. No, we can grow it this week. We can grow it this month. Say amen to that. I don't have to wait for 10 years for me to get to $1 million. 10 years, I'll be at $1 billion. I can get $1 million in a month. Now, are y'all following what I'm saying? And I'm not just throwing this out here so I can get you happy about something. I'm throwing this out here because this is scripture. See, the church fell. The church has not really been operating at its potential. We are the most powerful institution in the world ever. Ever. We were made to come into this time and manifest the glory of God. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, I don't even know where I had you now. Y'all got me to preaching and carrying on. Down, yeah. All right, look at John. 1 John, right? In 1 John chapter 5, he said, look at what he said. He said, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, and that we ask anything according to his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we have of him, the desire of him. So as soon as you ask it, you have it. There ain't no time. As soon as you ask it, you have it. Now, the only time is when you have to hold on to patience. Patience is not sitting by the dock of the bay waiting on time to roll away. Patience is not being moved by adverse circumstances. That is called patience. Are you with me? So that's where we are. We're at a place where you've got to grow up. You've got to let the Word of God be your standard and not what you necessarily feel. Are you with me? All right, so Adam sinned, and because of Adam's sin, of course, these things were lost. So man now is coming under a natural progression of time. He's got to wait on everything, so forth and so on like that. Now the enemy takes over. Now that the place of man goes from organization or order to chaos, and now everything is rebelling. So the whole creation now is groaning. You got earthquakes, hurricanes, floods. All these things are a result of the curse. And these things didn't happen before. And now you got man progressively moving back to the place where the earth was without form and void again. So where the earth had made progress, now because of the curse, the earth is moving back towards that. And pretty soon, if you didn't stop it, the earth would go back to without anything in it and void and so forth. So let me show you a scripture. You might not have ever seen this before. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Is this making sense to you, what I'm talking about here? See, we're the third world. Now, when I say that, don't mess with that in terms of its geographic connotation as we are right now. When I say third world, I mean this. Let me show you the first world. You ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
When the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, God said, let there be what?
Light.
Light. And there was what? Light. All right, look at this. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken nations? Who is Lucifer, somebody?
Satan.
Satan, or the devil. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, all of this is these eyes of Satan. And that's where mankind gets his selfishness from. Okay? Verse 1, verse 14. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Okay? As Satan now, trying to be God. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake nations, shake kingdoms? Watch this. And made the world a what? Wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of his prisoners. I believe that that enemy destroyed the first world. And that's why you had it void and dark. Now God spoke another world in. That's the second world. And that world got populated, and next thing you happen is here is Adam and Eve. They sinned. Now the devil took over that one. And when he took over that one, I think that now here's Adam and Eve. They got out there. Now they're survivors just trying to make it every day. The enemy is running everything, and he has set up now his own empire. He went from Adam to Lamech. He went from Adam, Cain and Abel first. You know, Cain killed Abel. Well, he killed Abel because Abel Abel brought a worthy sacrifice. That sacrifice indicated that Abel was taking dominion. But Cain didn't take it, and God didn't accept his. And now Cain got jealous and killed Abel, but Abel's blood, what? The voice of his blood was crying to God from the ground. Blood speaks. See? Well, water speaks too. You people just don't know it. But anyway, so here was, and water had memory, by the way. Yeah. Oh, okay. Y'all taking me on out there. I'm about to get on out there now. I get on out there so far, I get up and walk on air. I walk back to that place. Okay, but anyway. So now, after Cain and Abel, and then Cain became vagabond, so forth and so on, but he's building a city. I mean, built an empire. So he began to build another economy and all of that up to Lamech. And then Noah came. Now Noah came, and what did God do? He flattened everything. He took that flood, flattened out everything, wiped it out. So now Noah came back, but here comes Nimrod, and he began to build Babylon, so forth and so on. So that was the second world. The second world now is headed towards destruction. But now here comes the third world. Here comes the world that you and I have come in. What did Jesus say? I am come that they might have what? Life. So he was now bringing life, and he was going to establish a kingdom. What was the kingdom going to do? The kingdom was going to halt the destruction of the second world. The second world is moving back towards void and dark again. Why? Because the more they come up with and so forth, the further they get away from God. And so now it's moving back towards destruction. So now the kingdom of God has come, and you have been sent to bring the kingdom and to manifest his kingdom, because all those things, say amen to this. You kind of follow what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Now, okay, let's go, because I'm going to really try to stay on time. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I really am. All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 102, please. Psalm 102. I'm endeavoring. Psalm 102. All right. Now we're talking about vengeance and recompense. All right. We're still dealing with the supernatural, because we're still talking about your and my inheritance. All right. Now, this is something I want to show you. Verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Zion is a symbol for the church. Okay? And remember this. Now, the church has strength that cannot be measured. Okay? It's unlimited. Okay? So you can just remember that. All right? Now, for the time to favor her, yea, what? The set time is come. Verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. All right. Praise God. Now, we're talking about the favor of God. And when we get into the favor of God, we're talking about divine assistance. Divine assistance. I confess most mornings the favor of God in my life is producing supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies reduced, changed, and battles won, which I do not have to fight. I confess that just about every morning. Okay? You got to confess these things. All right? Now, so this is the favor of God coming upon the church. Now, this took us now over into vengeance and recompense. Now, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 61. Now, this is not, this is for grown folks. Are you following what I'm saying? This is not some get-rich-quick scheme. This is not for people who are mad and hateful. This is not for you. This is for people who are grown up in Christ. All right? Now, as we look at this, favor. Now, you and I have probably never experienced favor on this order before in our lives. Now, what has happened is that God has a purpose for your life. And He has had things that you have been born in this world to accomplish. And He has placed businesses in people's hearts, schools, nations, I mean, all kinds of political positions, things that He's placed in people's hearts. But as these people got into the church, these things have never developed. And these people have left this earth with that work undone. Now comes divine assistance. Because the enemy has been resisting God's people, and the forces of hell have been sitting on destinies. If you were to just for a moment imagine that the church is running the world's enterprises, that business has come back to where it belongs. So the kingdom has been established, and every contract awarded to businesses has first had to come through the church. See, I can imagine this. Every idea released into this earth has to come through the church. Every patent that the church should be owning patents and plans for nations, and the church should be consulted in the directions for nations and nation building. The church. Now, this is what we're supposed to be. But the enemy has held us up. In one way, he has tried to regulate our diet. And he tried to regulate our diet by giving us food that wasn't fit to eat. You get what I'm saying now? It's interesting I'm preaching this on the same day you've seen the health and nutrition ministry. So I'm saying that there have been forces resisting us, denying us, delaying us, deceiving us, distracting us from our destinies. But those days are over. For now is a set time that God is going to move His people forward, and we are going to possess our possessions. Now, as this is happening, there, Lord have mercy. I got, ooh-wee. Y'all want all of this? All of it, okay. All right, let me just see where I am here. I got a couple of notes. So what we said is Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61 when he read, in the synagogue, he stood up for to read. Now, he said, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Y'all with me? Yes. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now notice what happened when he read in the synagogue, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Put it up there on the board, please. That Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. He says this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and sat down and gave it again to the minister and all those so forth and so on. He even took it off the board. Okay? Notice he left out vengeance and comfort all that mourn. Now let me keep reading this, because he left them out for a reason. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. So he's going to beautify the church. Oil of joyful mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be what? Glorified. Watch this. And they shall what? Build the old waste places, and they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, when he said they shall build, he's talking about a supernatural manifestation of the sons of God. He's not talking about building in the natural progression of time. They shall build. So, now we are building. Because Jesus didn't build. He didn't build a church. He didn't build, I'm talking about a physical church. He didn't build a single company or manufacturing plant. He didn't build a single school. He didn't build any of that. He didn't build anything. We're to build it. And for us to be able to do it, vengeance is going to have to take place. And because vengeance hasn't been preached, we have been victims.
Amen.
We have gone through a life without fulfilling our destinies.
That's right.
So now those days are over. Whatever you have been struggling with in the past, you will struggle with no more. Now, are you following what I'm saying now? Now, you've got to understand that the enemy has been resisting us. So he's been doing it on a level that people have not even known that Satan is doing this. Because they haven't been spiritually grown up. They haven't known that it was the enemy that did this. But Jesus was wiser than that. He was going over with his disciples on the ship to the other side. Do I have a few more minutes? I've got a few seconds here. He was going on the ship to the other side, and they woke him because the storm was about to sink the ship and said, don't you even care about us? We're going to die. And he woke up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. Notice that was a spiritual problem. Now understand, he's going to the other side, and God is increasing your boundary. He is taking you to another level of dominion. And as he does that, another level, another devil. Now you got to realize that they couldn't cast his spirit out of this boy, and Jesus said, bring him to me. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And he asked the man, how long has this been with him? He said, since he was a child. He said, okay. He commanded his spirit, and the spirit came out, and the disciples said, well, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, well, this one can't come out except through prayer and fasting. Well, we know prayer and fasting. We know that God doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. So fasting is a part of this. And we know that prayer is needed. We know that he said his house shall be called a house of prayer. But let's take it up to another level. Let's look at prayer as a communication that for you now to be able to do things things of on that level, you're going to have to communicate on that level. And to do that in fasting, you're going to have to stop eating on the level that you're eating on and move and start eating on another level. That God has another level because it's another devil. And you have got to understand that you're the most powerful institution in the world ever. And anything that the devil raises up, you can undo it. So it doesn't make any difference what people come in the church with. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Folks, he's not just talking about sick, got a headache. He's talking about you're missing a kidney. So just anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save, will heal, will deliver the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. See, you got to expand your thinking. You think it's talking about a headache. No, he's talking about if you have a burn on your arm that happened to you because you got in an accident, whatever Satan messed up in your life, God's going to turn it up. Now, whoo, where am I right now? Where? Psalm 61, Isaiah 61. He's got to beautify the church. He's got to make you ready for the coming of the Lord, because you're the bride. He's got to get your garments ready. He's got to get your praise right. Come on now, got to get your body healed. Got to get a little money in your pocket. Got to get your walk, start walking right. This is a powerhouse. The local church is the powerhouse. Now understand, you're coming from the powerhouse. So you go out there somewhere and you happen to be in a line in the grocery store and somebody falls out. Uh-huh. Well, you can now take the name. Yeah. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm saying that's why you come in house. The first thing you do when we get born again up here is we take them back here, change the garments, take them to the water and baptize them. Why? Because we're putting them in Christ. See, you're joint heirs. He's a possessor of heaven and earth. Just like Genesis 14. And that's the first thing Melchizedek said to Abraham. You're a possessor of heaven and earth. Why? Because you and I are coming into joint heirship. And when you get baptized into that name, you're baptized into that name. Moses, the Bible says, and Paul teaches, with the people were baptized into Moses. But today you're going to be baptized into Jesus. And that means that the same authority that he has now, through you using his name, you have. Say amen to that. And that's why I like to bring the people back there, because people who come into church have made covenants that they don't even are not aware of that are holding them back. In other words, covenants that you might have made with some organization, a covenant that you might have made with some sorority for fun, you might have spoken some things and made an oath against your God. And because you did, you still license the enemy to send demons on you to resist you from getting to your wealthy place. And that's why we have people in the Bible, in the book of Acts, the moment they got saved, they got baptized. And the reason why they did is because when the enemy was after Moses and the children of Israel, they went through the Red Sea. They went through baptism. And nothing can get through there. When Pharaoh tried to get through there, it swallowed him up. So when people haven't split the water, the enemy is still chasing them, even though they've been saved. I'm going to help you. I said, I'm going to help you. when you can't serve two masters. That's why in certain things, and you made covenants with them, you got to renounce that stuff. And the thing about it is, once you confess Christ, you get baptized, you have just cut your ties with every oath that you have ever made with an ungodly sister. Some of you haven't started the business because of what you've spoken. And some of you, not you, because I know all you got saved, praise God. Well, but sometimes even our grandfathers or whatever have you belong to organizations that have spoken curses over that family. And those curses are still running with familiar spirits in those families. Well, when you split the water, I said, when you split the water, everything that's chasing you is swallowed up. People are led here sometimes. They don't know why they've come. They've come because they need to split the water.
Yes, sir.
Sit down. Let me finish. Isn't this good? See, only they... upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Yes. Obadiah 17.
Yep.
See, and then you shall possess your possession. You can't possess your possession without deliverance.
Amen.
Folks, I got it in me if you just listen to me and do what I say and don't let pride talk you out of what God has for you. See, before he can take you in, he got to get you out. And you are coming out. For you. I know it didn't work for you before. I know something didn't go right before, but I got good news for you now. Your struggle is over. I'm telling you, it's time for some joy to come into your life. It's time for the comfort of Zion to come upon you, and God's gonna give you what you are due. All right, sit down. Let me see if I can finish it right quick. Uh-huh. All right, let's go over the terms one more time now, one more time. Now, understand, I'm not talking against anybody's organization, so forth like that. You work that out yourself. But I'm telling you, you can't serve two masters. Things that are highly esteemed among men, the Bible says, are an abomination to God. Now, you check it out. Say amen. See, the first thing the enemy will tell you is to hook on with a group because you can't make it without them. And this will give you some access to something. Not if all the contracts coming through the church. Because all of them pretty soon gonna come through the church first. And what we don't want will filter out to the world. All the inventions are gonna come through the church. Say amen to this. I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. Now, I got scripture and verse to back up what I'm saying. Now, we're going to be in charge. Not just consumers, but producers. We're going to own the mills, the market, and the money. Now, let me tie my shoe. Praise God. All right, let's just look at this last place. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 20, please.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Y'all doing all right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Fantabulous.
Now, I ain't talking against your favorite group now, okay? You work that out. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can't serve two masters. At some point, they're going to collide. I've been through it. I've been through college. I've been, you know. But I had to do what I had to do. And you see what it got me. All right. You're with me, right? Verse 7. Oh, where do I have you? Where do you go? Oh, have mercy. I didn't even finish. But okay. That's all right. Where did I tell you? Genesis 20. Okay. My goodness. Can't y'all see how we can almost stay on this all day? I mean, we... Folks, I'm telling you, I got a lot up here that, you know, we'd have to send out for lunch and dinner. All right, okay, all right. Okay, so now, vengeance, let's define it again. It's an affliction or pain on others in return for injury or offense. Not revenge, nor resentment, nor hate. So it has nothing to do with that. But it proceeds from a mere love of justice. And it's a necessity for punishing offenders. I told you, you don't have to get revenge anymore. Your days of trying to get revenge are over. Every force that has been coming against you is now being put down. That is, you've got to have this vengeance because it's going to answer on your behalf on every situation. Now, what do we mean by recompense? Recompense means to compensate or to make a requite or to repay. It means to compensate, a return for an equal for anything that you've suffered. Now, this is key. Let me just tell you this first. I have you three things real quick. They were in Egypt as slaves. God told Moses, go down and get them set free. Moses said, hey, I don't know why you picked me, because I can't even talk. I understand, without a revelation of vengeance, we still remain victims. So now God told Moses, you go down there, I have made you a god to Pharaoh. That's back in Exodus chapter 7. In that same chapter, he went in there and told Pharaoh to let him go. He said, now Pharaoh is going to ask you to show him a miracle. Now, this is where I'm going next. I'm going into a subject called the day of his power. Satan respects power. Got it? And somehow today we've got some big preaching contest to see who can preach the best. Satan ain't moved by that. He's laughing about that. And we get, amen, praise the Lord. I appreciate the encouragement, hallelujah. Oh yeah, so you'd be surprised. Where are the miracles? That's what Gideon asked him. Gideon said, wait a minute now. If the Lord is with us, where are all the miracles? I'm asking the church that, if the Lord is with us, where are all the miracles? So we're going to go into that next. But now there's vengeance and recompense. Now it's key that you understand vengeance has nothing to do with hatred. It's not your vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will recompense. So it's not yours. So you not even supposed to hold unforgiveness against anybody. In fact, you can read it in your next devotion, Matthew chapter 18, when the man went to this man who was an overseer, and the man said, pay me my money. And the man owed him about $10 million or something. He said, listen, have mercy on me. I don't have it. I'm sorry. And the man said, okay, fine. He said, I'll forgive you the debt. Well, this same man went out and found a man who owed him about $5.55. I'm just using my own words now. And he said, pay me my money. And he said, listen, would you give me some time? Have mercy on me. He said, no, I'm not going to give you any time. I want you to pay my money or I'm sending you into jail. And he put him in jail. And then the other man heard about it. He called him back in and said, wait a minute. Didn't you ask me to forgive you? He said, yes, sir. He said, didn't I forgive you that big debt? He said, yes, sir. And he said, you went out there with a man with a small debt and you wouldn't forgive him? Got it? He said, for that, you, the tormentors, are going to be loosed in your life. And then Jesus said, so is everyone who doesn't forgive those who trespass against them. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying, I don't care what color you are. If you're in the kingdom, you will forgive. I don't care who's hurt you. If you're in the kingdom, you will forgive. Vengeance is not yours. It's the Lord's. And he will repay. Y'all with me now? Come on now, because I can see y'all cooled off. Y'all didn't stand up and applaud on that. Y'all kind of cooled off. See, I know when I hit pay dirt. Yeah, amen. I hit bedrock then. I don't know about that, because I'm ready to fight. I'm ready. You don't know what they did to my cousin. But I'm just saying. Can't do it. Whether it be racial, whether it be family, whatever. He calls you to do one thing. Love you, brother. Watch this. He's going to repay you. God's going to repay you. You're not looking to a man to repay you. God's going to repay you. And he promised in Proverbs chapter 11, he'll repay you before you leave the earth. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. See, that keeps you from trying to get back at somebody.
Yes, yes.
You don't get back at anybody. When they treated Daniel wrong and he got in the lion's den, notice what happened. The lion wouldn't bite him. He came in there. The king said, Daniel, call him. Daniel's sitting up there asleep with his feet on the lion's back. And I'm just putting that in there myself, trying to help you out. And notice what happened. He came out and said, long live the king. He wasn't mad at him. But what did they do with the people who framed Daniel? They put them in there. Did the lions eat? Yeah, they bit all of them. Ate them up. No sign of them. Ate the bones, crunching bones. Help polish their teeth. Now, you follow what I'm saying? You don't have to fight your battles anymore. Your days of fighting your own battles are over. Because you've just heard my message. Your days of fighting your own battles are over. Your days of fighting your own battles are over. I'm talking to somebody. Your days of fighting your own battles are over. Your days of fighting your own battles are over. The battles are not yours. They're the Lord's. And he will recompense. Now, God knows everything that was done to you. He knows everything that was done to you. And he keeps records. He keeps records. Let me show you that last part. You got verse chapter 20, right? Can I show you this? Just put them right there. Just turn to Genesis 31 real quick. Just real quick. Just right there. God keeps records. Got to show you this now. Because there's recompense coming in the body. And I'm telling you now, it's going to come in and I don't want no jealousy out of it. Because some folk will get more than other folk. Why? Because more has been done to them. Say amen to that. And God is a God of justice. So if you're on God's side, you should rejoice. Am I right about it? You should rejoice. Look what it says in Genesis 31, real quick. You got it? Verse 12, and he said, lift up now your eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, a ringstreak, speckled and gristle. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. In other words, heaven has kept a running account of everything that was stolen, everything that was defrauded, every time your ancestors worked and didn't get paid, every time the heaven has kept a running account, and you are going to be the harvesting generation. You are going to be the ones that the recompense is going to come back into your hands. Why? So you can build. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Chapter 20, please. Now, we're not mad at anybody. Are we mad at anybody? No? We're going to love folk here. Why? Because you're all one family. You're all one family. See? So, when you get your Mercedes and somebody else gets a Bentley, just rejoice. Okay, look what it says here. All right, I don't have time to read all this. Abimelech, what happened? He took Abram's wife in his palace. He was a king because Abraham said, she's my sister. Well, God said something to Abimelech. Verse 3, and God came to Abimelech in a dream at night, and he said to him, behold, you are but a dead man. For the woman which you've taken, she's another man's wife. You're gonna die. So let's go on down, because Abimelech began to say, hey, wait a minute. Whoa. He told me that. I'm clean, Doc. He told me that. Look what it said in verse 7. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely what? Die, and all that are thine, all your house. So look what's happening. Anybody that tries to hold you captive, anybody that tries to keep you from fulfilling what God has planned for your life, will have to deal with God. Do you see what I'm saying? Hey, now let me ask you this. Did Abimelech let her go? You better believe he let her go. But did he have a choice? Well, wait a minute now. He had a choice. He made the right choice, but he had a choice. My point to you is the people who are holding you do have a choice. All right, look at the last part, verse 14. And Abimelech took the sheep and oxen, men servants and maids and woman servants, and gave them to Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you, dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. I want to read that verse 16 out of the Living Bible. Listen at me. Then he turned to Sarah and said, look, he said, I am giving your brother 1,000 silver pieces as damages for what I did to compensate for any embarrassment and to settle any claim against me regarding this matter. Now, justice has been done. That is a powerful, powerful verse. So God has seen all that they stole from you. Not only you, your ancestors. Everybody was saved. He's seen all of it. And guess what? The day of recompense has come. And now, where is he going to get it from? He's going to get it from Satan. Satan has got people hoarding it right now. But he's going to take it out of his hand, and he's going to give it to you. He wants you to come out, but he doesn't want you to come out empty. He wants them to pay damages for every time you missed work because you were sick. For everything. Are you following what I'm saying? And folks, that's where we are. And if I were you, I'd just give the Lord a shout. Praise. Do this real quick before anybody leaves. If you're here and you have not ever given your life to the Lord, this is your time because you want to get in on this. Whoever you are right now, I want to pray with you. I'm not trying to get you in this church. You can join this church today if you'd like to. But the key thing for you is to now come out of the place where the enemy has resisted you and kept you from your God-given rights and things that God has planned for your life.